Today we are continuing to read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 21, titled Conversation between Manu and Kardama, text number 40. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Punya Druma Lata Jalai.
Punya Druma Lata Jalai.
Kuja Punya Mrigat Vijay.
Kuja Punya Mrigat Vijay.
Sarvatu Pala Pushpadyam. Vana Raji Sriyanvitam. Punya Druma Lata Jalai. Kuja Punya Mrigat Vijay. Sarvatu Pala Pushpadyam. Vana Raji Sriyanvitam. Punya Druma Lata Jalai. Kuja Punya Mrigat Vijay. Sarvatu Pala Pushpadyam. Vana Raji Sriyanvitam.
Word to translation.
Punya,
pious.
Druma,
of trees.
Lata,
of
creepers.
Jalai,
with clusters.
Kujat,
uttering cries.
Punya,
pious.
Mriga,
animals.
Dvijaha,
with birds.
Sarva,
in all.
Ritu,
seasons.
Phala,
in fruits.
Pushpa,
in flowers.
Adhyam,
rich.
Vanaraji,
of groves of trees.
Shriya,
by the beauty.
Anvitam,
adorned.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada.
The shore of the lake was surrounded by clusters of pious trees and creepers, rich in fruits and flowers of all seasons, that afforded shelter to pious animals and birds, which uttered various cries. It was adorned by the beauty of groves of forest trees. It is stated here that Bindu Sarovara was surrounded by pious trees and birds. As there are different classes of men in human society, some pious and virtuous and some impious and sinful, so also among trees and birds there are the pious and the impious. Trees which do not bear nice fruit or flowers are considered impious, and birds which are very nasty, such as crows, are considered impious. In the land surrounding Bindu Sarovara, there was not a single impious bird or tree. Every tree bore fruits and flowers, and every bird sang the glories of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Umajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Melitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Mahabhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Sri Uta Padagamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sagra Jatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Aptakanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanam Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udhirayet. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama sloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. So the current verse describes the beauty of Bindusarovar lake, the shore of the lake, how it is being adorned by different trees, creepers which are rich in fruits and flowers. No matter what season it is, they are all giving nice fruits, flowers, and they are giving shelter to pious animals. And this source of Bindusarovar, as we might know from yesterday's verse, the Lord, who is full of emotions, first of all we understand that He is a person and He has got emotions. Seeing the austerity of Kardamuni, and how well he practiced devotional service. He not only gave his darshan, he showed his form, but he also showed emotions, which we can see how the Lord had shed tears, and the holy lake Bindusarovar was formed by those tears only. So yesterday the comparison was made with how anything that comes out of the Lord's body is pure, whether the water coming from the, that touches the toe of the Lord, or that comes from the eyes, they're non-different. And so both have a purifying effect. So the Ganges water is considered so pure and it is so glorious because it comes from the feet of the Lord. And many pious people, they worship Mother Ganges and they bathe in Mother Ganges and offer, they take the water of Mother Ganges and offer it back to her. Now similarly, this Bindusarovar lake is also equally pious. And yesterday we saw how anyone who drinks the water of Bindusarovar is cured of all material diseases. Today what is described is the surroundings, how the lake is surrounded with pious trees and creepers. And Prabhupada here brings out how just as there are pious people in the human society and there are impious people in the human society, similarly among the trees and birds also there are some pious and impious ones. Trees that, one category is trees that bear nice fruits and which can be then later used for the service of the Lord, and those trees that give shelter to others, they are considered as pious, whereas those trees which don't bear nice fruits or flowers, they are considered as impious. Then Prabhupada goes to the next point of how even within the birds there are different categories. There are birds which take pleasure in going to nasty places and digging out the dirt and eating that, which the best example here given is crows, they are considered impious. And we also see the example of pious birds like the swan, which is able to take the milk, even though it is mixed with water, the swan has the ability to just take the milk. So those type of birds are considered as pious. And what are these trees? And they are giving shelter to the other people who are coming there. And the activity of those birds are also described here. They don't keep quiet with their mouth. They always sing the glories of the Lord. So they cry out with various voices, but all of them, they glorify the Lord by calling out His name and glorifying Him. So with pious trees, thought I'll speak a little bit about the most pious tree and plant whom we worship daily, Tulasi Devi. A similar description of different trees and comparison is given when describing the Vaikuntha realm, also there how different trees are there which bear fruits and they produce a lot of flowers which are very, very aromatic. So the names of those flower bearing trees are called Mandara. So there is a nice verse which tells about what are those kinds of trees. It's in Canto 3, Chapter 15, Verse 19. Mandara kunda kurabhut pala champa karna punnaga naga bakulambu japari jata Gandherchita tulasi kabhara nena tasya yasminstapa sumanaso bahumana yanti. Although flowering plants like the mandara, kunda, kura, baka, utpala, champaka, arana, punnaga, naga, keshara, bakula, lily and parijata are full of transcendental fragrance, they are still conscious of the austerities performed by tulasi. For Tulasi is given special preference by the Lord, who garlands Himself with Tulasi leaves. So here, the importance of the pious activities performed by Tulasi Devi is described. How she has performed austerities so much that the Lord Himself prefers Tulasi and He adorns Himself with Tulasi. And we also have in our daily spiritual practice to water Tulasi, to circumambulate her, to see her, to take the dust from the feet of Tulasi. These are all very pious. Not only pious materially, but she awards us the benediction of pure devotional service to the Lord. Now there are, sometimes this may we consider like watering a plant, how does that, it's like a old belief which doesn't bear any meaning at the moment. But those who know the internal activities of the Lord, what His preferences are, what His mind is and how He prefers things to be given to Him, we understand that Lord does not take any preparation offered to Him without Tulasi. Although for people who are outside, who don't know devotional service and who do not know much about the personal aspect of the Lord, they may think these things are more of a sentiment. Whereas personalists who engage in personal service of the Lord, they know what the Lord wants, how it should be done, and what is the mind of the Lord, what He prefers. So we do devotional service accordingly. So there is this, it's better to grow eggplants and feed the poor rather than watering Tulasi. So those kind of foolish arguments are sometimes given. So we understand the importance, and that's why we do certain things in a way. It is not some blind belief. The other aspect of spiritual world that's described in the current verse is that even though the other flowers, they have much more fragrance. They are giving flowers which spread fragrance for many meters around them. And they have beautiful flowers coming out of it. So beauty-wise, in terms of fragrance-wise, they are much superior to Tulasi. But what do? As soon as they see Tulasi, they give her more preference rather than rushing towards the Lord and serving Him directly. So they give importance to Tulasi. So there is no sign of envy or competition among the devotees. That quality is being brought out here. How even among the trees and flowers in Vaikuntha, there is no trace of envy. And this is something that we can meditate upon and see how, even though we have certain qualities which may be superior to others, but if the Lord wants a certain devotee, if the Lord prefers service from a certain devotee in a particular way, we should be in a position to step back and assist those devotees who are in a position, who are in the front line and serving the Lord, rather than trying to pull them down or push them aside and we go in the front and try to serve the Lord. So in that way, we cultivate the mood of being the servant of the servant of servant. So in terms of management, this may seem like you are not too much energetic or passionate to move forward. You always want to be in the back seat. But actually, a good manager, if he wants to become a leader, he has to bring out the good qualities in others. And a great leader is one who goes a step further. He takes a step below and he tries to push his subordinates above him, so that they also become glorious, they become great. This concept is also coming up, it's called a servant leadership. So you act like a servant for the rest of the team members who you are trying to lead. So you lead by serving them. You lead by finding out what are the talents that are in them. Bring out those talents and exhibit them. So empower them to do those kind of services. You assist them, and whenever any honor or glory comes, you pass it on to them rather than you yourself taking it. Whereas when it comes to the point of taking any, accepting any responsibility for a mistake, so then you go on the front and you take the responsibility of any discrepancies or mistakes that are being committed. The whole change in the mood is there. So that aspect is called as servant leadership. Even though modern management theories have come up now, this concept is being followed in our Vedic system. How even those who are in a superior position, they do their service as a matter of bringing out the good qualities in others. They instruct them, those who are junior to them. They accept the worship from them, but they do it as a matter of service. So then they enlighten those who are subordinates to them. Then only such people can accept worship. The superior should be in a position to deliver their subordinates from the cycle of birth and death. In that particular environment where everyone is trying to serve others, then there will not be any concept of envy or competition among the devotees. I was just recently reading a few things about the concept of desires and how mind is driven by the desires. There, Shrivatta Maharaj was mentioning about this particular aspect of competition. He mentioned a very important point, how instead of struggling to compete with others, even with amongst devotees, we are trying to struggle to compete with them and try to prove, why shouldn't we struggle to serve them? Why shouldn't we take up the same pains and struggles that we go through? Rather than struggling to compete with them and defeat them, why don't we struggle to serve them, cooperate with them? And thereby, we can all get elevated, rather than one person trying to pull the other one down. So, this aspect of non-enviousness is there in the spiritual world, and it is being exemplified even by the trees and the birds and the flowers that are there. In that same chapter, actually, there are many other birds which can sing really nicely with sweet voices. But when they hear that the bumblebee is humming the name of the Lord, just singing the glories of the Lord, the other birds take a back seat and they allow the bumblebee to glorify the Lord. So even among the birds, they don't have much of this concept of competition. They allow the other person to glorify the Lord. So whenever this kind of scenario comes to us, we should take inspiration from the trees and the birds that are there in the Vaikuntha realm, how they cooperate with each other, and the whole focus is on glorifying the Lord rather than going in the front and being in the front and serving the Lord. So, and regarding the aspect of Tulasi being very dear, we also see how the fragrance of Tulasi is capable of bestowing the personal aspect of the Lord, and we see how the four Kumaras were attracted by the fragrance of Tulasi. And they, from the point of being impersonalists, they were so curious, and they even traveled to the Vaikuntha realm, and they were able to see the Lord, and the transformation happened. So we understand the significance of worshipping Tulasi, that she is able to award us the highest benediction. So these impersonal attitudes we also have. To get out of that, we take shelter of the devotee of the Lord, who is able to bestow us such a exalted position of even taking us to the Vaikuntha realm. So that is the potency of worshipping a devotee. Even in nectar of devotion, there are a lot of glorification of Tulasi as well. And there are other points with the pious trees, which are like the banyan tree, which we can circumambulate. It's considered as a part of our devotional service to circumambulate those trees which are pious. So, maybe regarding the birds that take pleasure in going to impious places and with places which are dirty, the example given here is about a crow. So earlier in Bhagavatam, we see this example being brought out. Those men who do not study the literature which describes the glories of the Lord, but they take pleasure in reading other literatures which describe the worldly situations and which describe how this material energy works, and there are various interactions, how that happens. Such people don't have the taste, and they are the ones who are considered as crows, who take pleasure in such literature. Whereas swans, swan type of people who always are anxious to hear the glories of the Lord, such people, they get together and they glorify the Lord. And the mentality of such devotees is that they never get satisfied by hearing about the glories of the Lord. They always want to hear more and more. Such people are called swan-like people who do not feel satiated by hearing the glories of the Lord. They want to hear more and more. And in that sense, after hearing the glories of the Lord, they do not keep it to themselves. They also try to propagate that to the whole world. They try to do this biggest welfare work of going out and preaching. Even while preaching, they try to see the good qualities in a person who they are trying to preach. Even though he might have like 1,000 bad qualities, they seek the essence in him, and whatever good qualities that he has, they look for only that good quality. And the best example of Paramahamsa is Divine Gracious Prabhupada, who was able to discard, or he did not look at all the 10,000 faults that the hippies were having. He just looked at one aspect, which is they are curious, they want to know about the Lord, and they are chanting the name of the Lord. That's what was his main focus. And he just looked at that aspect, and then from that then on, he just kept on fanning that good quality. By bringing out that good quality, he was able to make them to the point of following the regulative principles. So, swan-like devotees, they not only relish in discussing the passing of the Lord amongst themselves, but they also go out and they look for sincere souls who they can give this knowledge to. In looking for such people, they take only the essence, just like a swan takes the milk mixed with water. And sometimes, even if they don't have any good qualities, whatever little they have, it is magnified, and they encourage them. So we have different kinds of sadhu. One who does not see any faults in others. One who sees minor faults in others. One who sees faults and good qualities. And one who only sees good qualities in others. So they are like different categories of the sadhus. So Paramahamsas are those who are at the topmost level. They are totally absorbed in the glories of the Lord, and they see how each person can potentially become a devotee. Such people, when it comes to preaching, they come down to the platform of Madhyamadhikari, from the Uttamadhikari platform, just so that they can preach and spread the glories of the Lord. So when they come down as Madhyamadhikaris, they act in that platform, give instructions. And then, when even unknowingly, sometimes the qualities of Uttamadhikari, they come out. We see how Prabhupada, when singing Jairadha Madhav Kirtan, sometimes his voice gets choked up and he gets absorbed in the pastimes of the Lord. So, the symptoms are there, but they don't exhibit it publicly, so that people might take it really cheaply. But they are internally very strongly connected to the pastimes of the Lord, and they always meditating on the glories of the Lord, and they untiringly go around the world to preach. So that's why we not only say Paramahamsa, but we also say Paribhajaka Acharya. So the Acharyas, they take the pain of going through different countries and seeing in each part of the world the Krishna conscious movement being propagated, to start in each place and then make sure that it goes on. So in that way, they are the most virtuous and the pious in the human society. And the other classes of men, they take shelter of such exalted Vaishnavas, and through them they try to perfect their own life. I'll conclude here. Ask if there are any comments, questions, corrections. Location of Bindu Sarovar. So the location of Bindu Sarovar is in Gujarat, near Sindhupur. Okay. Siddhapur. Okay. Yes.
One question. I did this lecture and said, as well as the water of the Ganges, it's very pure, it's coming from the lotus feet of Lord Krishna.
So the question is, how it is said that the water of Ganges is purifying, but some Westerners who take bath in it, they become sick. So how does the purifying aspect work? So purification happens at different levels. So as we know, we are spirit souls in the physical body, and we also have the subtle covering of the mind. So when the soul, that needs to get purified, the body might be facing some inconveniences, so that you purify, you as a spirit soul become purified. So taking bath in a Ganges is purifying, so the effect is shown on them. They may fall sick, but eventually they will become purified. Just as some types of Ayurvedic medicines, when you take, it will remove the ill effects from you, which may show signs like vomiting or signs of loose motion. But we understand that it's part of the purificatory process, where the impurities are getting removed from your system, and then you take up the nice food. So then you'll become healthy. Before you become healthy, a certain amount of purification that you need to go through physically also. Similarly, in spiritual life, although the body may go through some inconveniences, if we still have the faith and perseverance to proceed, so then we will eventually come to understand the purity of such devotional practices. We obviously we also need to be mindful of, we take guidance to what extent we can perform those devotional services, like taking bath in Mother Ganges. So if it's going to create a lot of problems, so then even taking few drops of water and sprinkling on your head is sufficient. If a person really wants to do that, he can. But when we are young and we can do some amount of austerity, so then it is okay. So you take bath and eventually, even through other means, one may fall sick. Right? The body eventually may fall sick due to some other reasons also. But now that you have done some very pious, you have started your spiritual life by taking bath in Ganges, you may face some physical inconveniences. But if you still go on, so then in the long run, it will give you benefits. Any others, if you want? Yes, Prabhu. Why worshipping banyan tree is considered as a part of devotional service? The air that is around the banyan tree, what I've heard, is it gets purified, and it also has purifying effect on the body. But in terms of actual devotional benefits, I personally do not know to what extent can offer. To the extent that we have, I have information on Tulasi Devi, to what effect she has produced. I don't have much information about banyan tree. Only thing is it is listed in Nectar of Devotion. If anyone else knows, they can add why banyan tree is considered pious. Okay, so the connection is through when Tulasi Devi cursed Vishnu, then he became Shaligram and also banyan, and that's how we understand. There's a Puranic reference there, and also Bhagavad Gita we have Krishna himself saying, among the trees I am banyan. Questions? No. Okay. Conclude here. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Thay Gaur Premanande.